Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have the answer to every one of our needs in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our gathering together, and we thank you, Lord, for the offering that's been received. We ask, Lord, you would bless each one that has put into this offering today, that you would bless each home that it represents. Glory to God. And that, Lord, that you will fill our homes with grace and with peace in Jesus' name. And that, Lord, that you will help us in this day and hour to be good citizens of your kingdom, that we'll do exactly what the angels admonished us. We'll see peace on earth and goodwill toward men. In the name of Jesus, amen. Glory to God. So good to be with you. We're going to try preaching up from up here. We're going to find out and see if it happens to me make a little difference so that you can hear. We want to make sure that everybody hears us. Praise the Lord. And hopefully it will help. And we won't get so much feedback. If I have to stand back or do something, we will. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, out of Isaiah chapter 9, that song that we just sang came from Isaiah chapter 9. We read it there last Sunday and preached that God is the answer, God's answer to our need. And in verse 1 it says, "Nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever." You see there the land, the Midianites were coming into the land, and the land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, and there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. What a promise to a people that were actually very distressed. The people, these people at the time were walking in darkness. They will see a great light. Here's a prophetic word now. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine forth. You know that between the last book of the New Testament, or of the last book of the Old Testament and the first of the New Testament, there were some 400 years between them. And the Bible says that there was no word. The word of the Lord was not. Dear me, what a time to live in when you didn't have the privilege of even listening to the word of the Lord. Well, it was a time of deep darkness. You enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest. And like warriors dividing the plunder, for you will break the yoke of slavery and lift the burden, the heavy burden, from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. And here it is. For a child is born to us. A son is given. That word was given to a people that they had put aside the things of God. They didn't want God's help. When you read the condition of the people at that time, they didn't want. But here the prophet says, a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and with justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. Listen to this. It says, the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's army will make this happen. Glory to God. That's something. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, the passionate commitment. The passionate commitment of who? The Lord. Praise the Lord. Because this was a word of the Lord. It was actually unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, when you read that, it almost leads you to believe that God has many names. But actually, God has one name. If you were to go into the hospital, they would say, "What is your name?" You have many characteristics, I'm sure. You might be a kind person. You may be a helpful person. You might even be a counselor. You can be a janitor. People really, they're not talking about what you do or what your attributes are. They want your name. You see, there's a lot in a name. And in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "There is no salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." A little bit later in the chapter, the authorities called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in what name? The name of Jesus. Now, just a little bit of history for you. Okay, I'm not starting a new doctrine or anything, but really the letter J has only been around for approximately 500 to 600 years. They did not call his name Jesus with a J. But understand what's happened over time. His name was actually, in Hebrew, it was Yeshua. That's the name that the disciples would have used back then. Like I said, our letter J has only been around for the last 500 or 600 years. It wasn't around. The letter J wasn't around back then. Now, does that make our Bible of no effect? No. Absolutely not. Okay? Sometimes you will hear me pray once in a while in the name of Yeshua. Okay? It actually comes from a little bit of Joshua in there. But it's interesting. These disciples were preaching actually in the name and teaching in the name of Yeshua. And in their day, remember, these were Hebrews. They weren't speaking English. So translated into English now, we have Jesus. Okay? But back then, his name was Yeshua. There was no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Now, when you go back into this scripture, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." He didn't go by the name Wonderful Counselor. It is a description, if you will, of his character. He's a wonderful counselor. Praise the name of the Lord. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. Praise the Lord. He loves just like his Father loves. Now, Isaiah wrote these words about Jesus, or about Yeshua, if you will, some 400 years or so before Christ. He wrote at that time. He was writing in the present tense. I could say my wife and I were married 1983. That's past tense. If I was to be married today, I'm going to marry. You see, now I'm so glad that my marriage took place in 1983. Glory to God. You understand the difference between present and future. So, Jesus is God's answer. Okay? Jesus is God's answer. He was writing in the present tense. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Last week we taught on the fact that God lights our darkness. See, the people were walking in darkness. And in verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 9, the people were walking in darkness. And this was not a literal darkness. Like if we had the lights off when I came into this room this morning, I was walking in darkness. I had to find a light. Literal darkness. And until I found those remotes, you know what I'm saying, Brother Terry? He's the remote man. And he, I don't know. I'm good with remotes, but I'm telling you, I got nothing on him. That man is a remote man. Everything's remote. You know, he probably has remote start in his truck, too. Well, you see, the lights needed to be put on. I was in darkness. Now, I knew kind of the layout. In fact, just this morning, I was going into the kitchen, and the lights were off. And you know what? I had to walk. I had to open the door. When I opened the door, she was black. And I walked into that dark place, and I didn't bump into a thing because I knew the routine. I could just see. I didn't even have my glasses on. And I could, for some reason, I can see better in the dark without my glasses. In fact, to be honest with you, I walk better without my glasses in the dark. But there were people that were walking in darkness. You see, that darkness were wrong attitudes and behavior. And I told you and shared last week how there was materialism. They were wise in their own eyes. There was values upside down. There was all kinds of things that were happening. Even when they were surrounded by enemies, they didn't consult God. They didn't consult God at all. They were consulting mediums and spirits and all kinds of different things. Darkness is the absence of light. So, darkness ignores the need for a day of rest. Darkness, we're not trusting for God's guidance. But the fact is, we were made for God to live for Him, to reflect His character, and to reflect His light, praise God. Sometimes we choose to live in darkness, but God is the answer for our darkness. And Christmas is at least a time when we can remember the light of life. For unto us a child is born. Jesus is wonderful. He is a true counselor. He says it like this in John chapter 9, verse 5. It says, "While I am here in the world," this is what Jesus says, "While I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world." They're not lights that light up like a tree. But just as there is natural and physical darkness, there is also spiritual darkness. And Jesus came to bring life and light. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, He spoke to the people, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to light." Praise God. He's not just a wonderful counselor. He directs our steps from darkness to light. He's not just the one that directs us. He's not just a counselor, but he also has power. He has power to save us. You see, he was this child that Isaiah was prophetically speaking about was not just one that was a wonderful counselor, but he was also mighty God. He wasn't just an ordinary child. He was born in humble surroundings. My goodness. That term, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, almost made it sound like to the Jews that the Messiah was going to come and take care of everything that was wrong. You see, they were oppressed. They were oppressed and were under the rulership of the Romans in Jesus' day. When Jesus shows up, that's the kind of environment that there were. They were looking for a Messiah that was going to take care of the Romans, that was going to set them free. The government shall be upon his shoulders. They always thought that their Messiah was going to come and rule and reign and everything would be at peace and would be okay. That's what really messed up the disciples. That's what messed up Peter when he took the sword and he whacked off that guy's ear. Jesus had to put that ear back on. You see, he was no ordinary. Well, he came as an ordinary baby. He was born in a humble surrounding. He wasn't born in a palace. He lived the same as any other child of his day. He was brought up by ordinary parents doing ordinary job. In fact, as a carpenter. He was hungry, just like we're hungry. He was thirsty, just like we're thirsty. He knew what tiredness was after work. When you cut yourself, you bleed. That's just the way we are. He knew the full range of human emotions, and yet he knew what it was to sorrow, to have joy, to have compassion, to be angry, to weep, to sing, to live, and to die. What's amazing that he was no just ordinary man. He was Christ, who was the Christ, who was also God. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He laid aside his majesty. He laid aside his divine privileges. He could have stayed in heaven, but he didn't. Glimpses of light began to shine through his miracles. He made claims that could only be true if he were God. Like in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, "I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." John 11:25, Jesus said, in fact, it was interesting. This was the last verse I read before getting the telephone call that Violet was not doing well. This was the last verse I read before getting that call. It is, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Violet is not in her body. She is present with the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Now, Jesus was either a madman or he was a confident trickster that was starting some cult. Or he was, as I believe, and I'm sure you do too, that he's God. I can't answer all the questions you may have, but you do have to make up your own mind. You do have to look at the evidence for yourself that the Godhead dwelt in him in bodily form. It's vitally important that Jesus, Yeshua, is God. No sinful human being like us could deliver us from the darkness from which we chose to live. Human sin leads to judgment, leads to condemnation, leads to death, leads to guilt. But this child that Isaiah wrote about, he said he was mighty God, and it brought hope to Israel. Israel was helpless in their own moral and spiritual darkness. So are we. They had done wrong, and God was judging them. They were at the mercy of Almighty God to help them with the Midianites and the Assyrians. To be saved from their distress, God would have to step in, for they were powerless to turn things around, despite their best efforts. And Christmas is the celebration of the coming of the mighty God. It is the hope for you and me. Our only hope is that God would step in, and he has stepped in. The mighty God came down through the events of Calvary and from there went to a tomb and did something that we could never do. Pay the death penalty. Praise God for you and me. He rose from the dead, destroying its power. Sting of death is removed. Satan has no longer power in that department. The mighty God has won the victory. Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, has the power to save. He was God's answer to our need. The child born in a manger, God's light in darkness, wonderful counselor, was mighty to save. He has the power to save. That means to you and I that for unto us a child is born, we have one that looks after us like an everlasting father. Jesus never took the Father's place. But that name describes his love for us, just as the others do. So when God wants to speak of his love, he gave us Yeshua, his son. In fact, in Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, the Lord is like a father to his children. He is tender and compassionate to those who fear him. His love forgives, his love heals, his love redeems, his love satisfies, his love renews. It's slow to anger, not to repay us for our sins. In fact, there isn't anything more that God's going to do to take care of our sin problem. He knows our weakness. And by the way, God always keeps his promises. And the picture of the Father is just like that in Luke chapter 15, where the father welcomes home the prodigal son, throwing his arms around him, forgiving the rejection and rebellion and selfishness. And the heart of Yeshua is just like that, like a father full of love and compassion. You may feel far away. You may feel too bad, too much of a failure. But there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Not death, not life, not angels, not demons, not present, nor future, nor nothing, no height, nor depth, nor anything. The only one that keeps from the love of God is you. You can push them away. But the Lord, He's the everlasting Father, the mighty God. But it doesn't stop there, because there's one more thing that describes this child that was in Bethlehem. It is, "For unto us the child is born." Right near the end, there's an interesting word that says, "Prince of Peace." Do you know that until sin is forgiven, there is no peace? You will always know guilt and shame. You will always be unsure of God. You'll have a lack of assurance of eternal life. And I'll tell you this, Violet was sure she was a daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. And you can be sure that you are a child of God. The angels said it, "Peace on earth and goodwill toward men." The good news is that this child, one of the attributes of this child was the Prince of Peace. His arms are stretched out in love. I know. We mostly think about God's wrath. Do you know something I found really interesting? Do you know that there were American scientists? They sent astronauts into space to repair the famous Hubble telescope that was in orbit. Do you know it took days? They worked to replace solar panels. They worked to replace electrical parts and even some lenses. The cost of that event ran into hundreds of millions of dollars to save a telescope. All to save a telescope. But God, in His immense love, He sent Jesus on a rescue mission worth far more than a telescope. Ooh, glory to God. His plan was to bring you and me out of darkness into light. His purpose was to bring us peace with Him. He came, He did not come to do patchwork. He came to remake you. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." It was a free gift. It was a free gift. But to Him, it was a huge cost. It wasn't dollars and cents. It was His life. Is Christmas going to be a time of stress for you this year? Or will you remember it as a time when you found peace with God? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. The best thing we can do is to receive Christ personally as Lord and Savior. We can receive Him. Yeshua, Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and He will guide you out of darkness into light. The best thing we can do is to receive Him. We know He has the power to save. We know He has great love for us. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, verse 28, it says this, and I'm almost done. "You have shown me the way of life." That's what it says. "You have shown me the way of life." And it says, "You will fill me with the joy of Your presence." Are you experiencing the presence of God? Are you experiencing the presence of God? Thank you, Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, this is the last scripture I have for you. It says, "The Lord directs our steps. The Lord directs our steps. So why try to understand everything along the way? Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. The Lord directs our steps. Well, the best thing we can do is to commit our way to the Lord. I'm not dealing with the time that he was born or the time of his birthday. I recognize that there are people. In fact, my own sister came to a place in her life that she did not believe in Christmas. She didn't think that it was said in the Bible that we were to celebrate his birth. And I said to her, I said, "Sis, do you know the Bible tells us that the wise men came? Do you know that the wise men came 2 years after he was actually born? He was in a house. See, the wise men came. What did the wise men do? They gave him and offered gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. For some reason, okay, God directed wise men to come and worship the Christ child. I'm not here to debate the timing of when he actually was born. I just know that he was born and that he came. Okay. I'm not here to debate Christmas. I just know that I want to remember his birth, because you have to have the birth of Christ in order to have his resurrection. And you have to have his death and resurrection so that we can enter into life. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you sent your only Son into the world. Glory to God. I've had people say to me, in fact, by the way, my sister, when I mentioned that you know, the wise men showed up 2 years later, my sister, that just did something in her own spirit. The light come on. She said, "Well, if they did it, we should do it too." So she celebrates Christmas today. Wonderful. Hey, look, we can argue and talk about all kinds of different things. I don't have all the answers, but this much I know. He's a wonderful counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. And he loves us like an everlasting Father. Wow. Heavenly Father, thank you for Yeshua, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that he was born into a humble Jewish home. And your word declares that he is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, you'll speak to every heart. You'll open our understanding so that we will be able to know what it is you've accomplished and desire to walk in that all the days of our life. And like David, we'll want to dwell in your house. Thank you, Lord. We'll want to dwell in your house. Actually, we want to dwell in your presence. For in you is life that no one else has. That life is life forevermore. I thank you for it, Lord. I ask that you would help us to exhibit, just like these lights are on, you would help us as lights to distribute and to shine forth your love into a world that lives in darkness. They see, they know a great light, they know darkness, but in you there is light. Help us to be the light, so that they will come to you as personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Father, that you'd be with these people when they're going out and in their coming in and in their rising up and in their sitting down, in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that they would not only talk about peace, but you would display peace through them during this day, this hour. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, folks. I am so glad you are in the house of the Lord today. We want you to be blessed, not just this day, but throughout the week. And if there's something we can do that you need prayer throughout the week, you get a hold of us and we'll pray. Glory to God. Somebody actually called me up this past week and we had prayer right there. It was awesome. We'll pray with you right there and get her done. God bless you.